I want you to take your Bibles today and go to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. That's where we're going to take our text. And while we're getting set up here, I do want to say this. It's right over there. I'll bring them up later, maybe at the end of the service, so that you can actually see them. But I'm very, very thankful for the youth team we have leading our youth group. And they do an incredible job day in and day out. I would fail to say that I know the exact number. I think there's maybe 10 or 12 of us that work tirelessly Mondays and Wednesdays, and then in this conference. It takes a lot of effort and energy and a lot of sacrifice on their parts, and so I'm going to introduce you to them later, but I'm very, very thankful for them. Grab your Bibles. Let's look at this. Now, if you're in my Monday night class, this is going to be a little bit of review. If you have not gone to our grief class, this is something that God literally brought out to us while we were going through this process of restoration, transformation, and being able to face the future with courage after going through hard times. And I'm going to say this, every person that I know, every person I've ever met, has either gone through something that seemed overwhelming and impossible, or will go through something that seems overwhelming and impossible at some point. How many of you said, I've been there? Maybe multiple times, right? If you had t-shirts, you'd have a whole closet, right? Just full of things that just signify what you've been through. Life has a lot of twists and turns in it. Sometimes it's based on the decisions we make, and sometimes it's based on the decisions others have made. We say this phrase all the time, I'm a product of my past, I don't have to be a prisoner of it. Pain is unavoidable, but misery is optional. We talk about these things consistently because we have to get in the right mindset, rooted in the right belief systems, that the things that are going on in our lives do not indicate, nor do they dictate, the things that God is doing in our lives. And sometimes it's easier for us to get rooted and to see the things that are negative around us than it is for us to get bought into the things that God is doing around us. And so we really want to challenge you today to open your minds and to really dive in to what God's going to show us. So I want you to grab somebody's hand. We're going to open with a word of prayer. I'm going to borrow this stool real quick because I want to use it for an illustration. Let's pray. God, give me freedom right now. I pray that any fear, anxiety, any opinion or anything of myself that might get in the way of this moment would be removed so that you could be seen. And I pray that as we step into this word, that you would give it such power and clarity that we could not stay the same. May it motivate, may it revitalize, may it revive our hearts, our belief systems. And so, God, we thank you and praise you for what we've seen with our youth group this morning. I pray that you'll continue to keep that fire lit in their heart, not just through this service and the next one, but through their next days and weeks as they go into their regular lives. But God, in this moment, we're praying for authority and power. May it fall in here so real that we can't escape it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me set a backstory. All right, here's the backstory. Backstory is David has messed up. David has made a major mistake in his life. David has been on a rooftop that he shouldn't have been on, looking at views he shouldn't have been looking at. When he should have been at war and fighting for things, he surrendered and stayed home. And by the way, that's not the message tonight, but most sin gets fallen into when we're not doing the things that God has called us to. When you're in the things that God has called you to, are you going to get tempted? Yes, but does sin set root? No, you don't have time for it. You know the calling's too great. The things that God wants to do is too big in your life. And so David, after falling into this, not only did he do that, then the next thing took place, something else happened. He went and he had her husband brought home. He tried to cover up his sin. The man, Uriah, wouldn't do it. And so David then plotted a mass murder and gave an order through this guy to go back to his battalion chief and to have his chief order that battalion to go forward into battle, and then when they got deep into the heart of the battle, to withdraw all the other troops from them. And not only did David have that husband murdered, he had the whole battalion murdered and literally became a mass murderer to cover his sin. Now, most people in most churches would have ruled David out right there. He's done. Forget him. It's over. God still used this man to write the largest book in the Bible and still called this man in the book of Acts a man after God's own heart. Nathan shows up one day and says, what would you do to a man who has all these sheep and is rich and is powerful and can do anything he wants, but he has this banquet And instead of using from his abundance, he goes and he takes the one sheep, the only thing that this other guy had, sacrifices it, kills it, and serves it at his thing. And David, in arrogance, stood up. By the way, judge not lest you be judged. All right, don't point out the splinter in somebody else's eye when there's a bee in your own, right? And David says, that guy's going to repay you four times. And Nathan stood up, famous statement in the Bible, you're the man. You did this. And so David and Bathsheba had become pregnant. And then Nathan looked and says, this baby, along with three others, you're going to lose three of your children. This is going to happen. You're going to repay four times. You put that judgment on yourself. And so David and Bathsheba, and where we're picking up our text, are in this moment where the baby has now fallen ill, and David is praying and pleading with God to spare the baby's life. Will you please put this in your notes? When you don't like what's happening in your life, it is okay to be persistent in prayer with God. It is okay to go to God and to talk to God and say, God, I don't like this. I need this to change. God, if not my will, yours, but if there's another way, let's go. And so David literally loses his hygiene. David literally stops eating. A king stops ruling his nation. He stops his job. He stops his worship. He stops everything, shuts down, and literally begs God to do something different. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right, that's where we're going to pick up. All right, here we go. It says that in verse number 16, David begged God to spare his child. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. The elders of his household pleaded with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. That's depression. That's depression. All right, now I want you to recognize this. When you're changing your lifestyle and your habits, when you're not doing the things necessary and needed in your life to survive, you have battled depression. And it's good to have people in your life that are pleading with you to do the right thing. But there's certain things that in ourselves we've got to take on. And today, whether you're sitting in the state you're in or know of someone sitting in the state they're in because of their own choices and decisions, or sitting in the state that they're in because of what's going on around them and other people's choices, then this message applies, not just to your circumstances. Don't just think about you. Chelsea said this, and David said this in that last devotion. She picked up a peach, and she said, you got roots, but then you get fruit. And this fruit right here doesn't have to stay here. It can be shipped to California. You know, and say, hey, it's like, hey, just because you came to church today and got a message doesn't mean that God necessarily is speaking just to you. Maybe God's putting a fruit in your life from a root you'll develop today that you can take to your workplace, you can take to your home, to your friends and your neighborhoods, and you can start building other people up because of what God's doing in your life. How many of you understand that today? All right, he's going to give you a fruit. And so understand that David's sitting here, he's playing it, and they're saying, dude, get up, you've got to eat. And look at this. Then on the seventh day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill, they said. What drastic thing will he do when we tell him his child's dead? How many of you have ever heard it? Don't kill the what? You know, that comes from these medieval times. That comes from this, you know, you did not want to be the dude telling the king the bad news, right? In Sparta, they would kick you down a hole or throw you off a cliff. You'd lose your head in a moment, and they're standing there and they're like, not me. I don't want to do this. Who's going to tell him? And when David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. He is dead. This is our text, verse 20. This is where we're going to hone in today. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, changed his clothes, went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to the place where the food was served. And he served food and ate. His advisors were amazed. We don't understand you, they told him. While the child was still living, you wept and refused to eat, but now the child is dead, and you've stopped your mourning and are eating again. And David replied, I fasted and wept while the child was alive, for I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? What's the answer to that? No. But look at this. This is where life changes. To every addict in the room, this is where life changes. To every grieving heart and broken heart in the room, this is where life changes. He says, I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. He says, I can move forward and know there's reunion, there's unity, there's things made right, but I cannot go back and undo or redo what has been done. It's time that in your repentance journey or in your confession journey or in your transformation journey that you stop going back to the past trying to find life and you realize that life is found in what God has done in your present and what God wants to do from here and where he wants to take you from here. I cannot go back, but I can go forward. I cannot take back, but I can move forward. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and slept with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and David named him, say it, Solomon. Big transformation. By the way, let me give you another word of hope. While David's sin brought tragedy, it also brought the wisest king that ever lived. And you might sit here and say, there's heart and there's consequences to bad decision, and you're exactly right. We said it last week, and I'll say it again. I don't believe God is sitting there with a zapper looking to pour out the consequences. Consequences come from the choices we make and the sins we do. You've taken a path that leads to pain. You're going to have pain, but there is a grace, and there is a mercy, and there's a Savior. His goodness and his mercy still follow you, even in valleys of shadows of death. And in that, we've got to know that God has restoration in place. Matter of fact, if you go forward, back to the beginning of this, it says in verse number 15 that David was with Uriah's wife. If you get down to verse number 24, after repentance and change and transformation that we're going to talk about today, you see that David was with his wife. God even re-sanctified that marriage and made it right simply because the attitude of what David's mindset was going in. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right, understand this. We have got to get back to the grace and mercy of God that believes in the fact that God can change any circumstance and any life. We've got to get back in a rooted belief that God can get us up no matter how far we've fallen, no matter how far we've gone. It says, and it sent word, Nathan, to the prophet that they should name him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord as the Lord had commanded. Let's go back to verse number 20. I think there's some things you need to write down here and things that we need to get in our notes on how transformation is made possible. Let's call this whole sermon Get Up, because it starts literally right here. And matter of fact, when you see Jesus do a miracle in a crippled's life, or when you see Peter or Paul or others do miracles where someone who was lame or someone who was not able to walk, who was crippled or disabled, was laying in front of them and they did a miracle that would change the status of their life from crippled on a mat to standing person, two words are found in almost every one of those miracles, and it is this: rise, take up, or get up and walk. All right? Hey, at some point, we've got to understand that life is going to throw us curveballs. I'm in one of the biggest curveballs that I've ever faced in business right now. And there is panic and there is fear that if I'm not careful, will rake my mind and just come into it. On my board in my office at the very top right, I have a four-letter word written to motivate me in difficult times and in days where I just want to be lazy. It is this word. Write it in your notes. M-O-V-E. Move. Yeah. Move. Because there are moments in life, there are things in life that if we're not careful, we'll get stuck. Our mind will get stuck. Our panic will get stuck. Friday, this bomb goes off in my personal life. I'm on my phone with my wife. I'm talking to Pastor Chris, talking to Howard. I'm trying to hold it all together. 8 people have just gotten saved that night before on Thursday. God's on the move. 12 more are in the process of coming to God and get saved that night. And in the middle of a conference where we're supposed to be focused, everything around you starts shaking. You know, and I'm going to tell you, it's easy to sit there and think, well, you know, you got faith, you got God, you got this, it's easy. But how many of you would be honest that even with your faith and even with your belief systems, sometimes even though you know Jesus said he's getting up in 3 days, you still find yourself hiding. You still find yourself in a room of fear of what's going to happen next, just like those 11 disciples, right? And you're sitting there and you're thinking, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden somebody walks in the room and says, move! Move. Now, many of us might be sitting in circumstances or relationship statuses or in areas of our lives where we're not comfortable right now. And we're like looking around and saying, I don't like what I see. Can I tell you this right now? You'll never see anything different until you practice one thing. Get up. Because you have got to change your perspective. You have got to change what you're looking at. You've got to change your roots. I love what Bree said is, hey, it's not that I'm pushing people out, but I got to get the people in that push me. You know, like I've got to get the ones in that are going to take me where I need to go. And some of you today, the most healing thing I can say to your pain and to your hurt is not get over it, but don't get stuck at it. I remember as a chaplain with the Knoxville Police Department many years ago, it's been over a decade now, I went to a scene where, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but a guy walked up with some mental hurts and pains in front of his family, and he was standing in front of his older brothers and sisters, and they were making fun of him and giving him a hard time. So he went to the bedroom, and he pulled out a gun, and he put it to his chin right in front of them, and literally one of them, in their cruelty, looked at them and said, "Do it," and he did. And I got called to the scene, and I remember walking up and a police officer coming in, and he said, I'm so sorry, but I need you to do one thing. We've been here for hours, but we can't process anything because she will not leave his side. One of the sisters that had been taunting him was immediately so overcome by grief that she became paralyzed right beside his body. And as I walked in this room in this gory scene where blood's pooling around her body and his, she's sitting there and she's weeping and she's screaming, and I literally put my hand on her shoulder and I leaned up and I said, "Hey, you know," and I'm paraphrase, "I know this is hard and you can't take this back, but we can't stay here. Let's go outside and let's just get some air." And after about 5 or 6 minutes of just trying to comfort the fact of we can't stay here, she got up and we went out. They were able to process the scene, clean the scene, remove the body, and try to make it back to as much normal as it could possibly hold. But I'm going to tell you this right now. There's times in our lives that the bomb goes off or something happens and we immediately find ourselves stuck at the place of tragedy, at the place of pain, at the place of hurt. And yes, what you have in front of you is real. And we cannot take that away. But we can't stay here either. Whether it's in our mindsets or it's in our lives, we have got to get up. You were a drug addict. You were a cheater. You were a liar. You were those things. But let's not stay here. The tragedy happened. The broken happened. But let's not get stuck at the scene of death. Let's get up. And let's take a walk and let's get a breath of God. Let's let a Holy Spirit come in and let's get a different view, because until we do, no healing can happen. And many people go through their entire lives wondering why they respond the way they respond, why they react the way they react, why these things are happening. It's because your mom said something to you, your dad said something to you, or they didn't say something to you you needed, and you've been stuck at that phrase for your entire life. And at some point, we got to get away from that thing that should have never been said. Get away from that thing your husband should have never done. Get away from that thing that your wife should have never said or done. Get away from it. Get away from it. Get away from it. Take a breath, because if we stay here, nothing good happens. You got to get up. Number two, look what he does. Stood up from the ground and he washed himself. He got to get clean. Number two. You know, I'm telling you, there's times in our lives that we just need a good shower. Anybody ever had those moments? Hopefully every day. Hang out with a bunch of teenagers for 40 hours and you believe in showers. You know, you believe the possibilities, the good things. You know, hey, can we write these words down? Here's some ways to get clean. Confess. Be honest. Get it out. We say it constantly. Talk it out or you'll take it out on yourself and other people. Hey, get it out of the hiding, because if Satan has it in hiding, he'll surely beat you up with it. You know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I was reading the testimony, and it's a private testimony, so I'm not going to share who or any details other than the statement that they made, that they were raised to believe that confession is something that God required, but forgiveness is something that God has already given. So confession is not for God at all. It is simply to set us free from what Satan would try to hold over us and to bring us into an understanding of what God has already given. And I thought, what a powerful statement. And as I look at that, I realize in our rooms that sometimes here, we just believe that we have to be something special, or we have to be something we're not, and we play the role, and we put on the mask, and I'm going to tell you right now, you got to get up from where you've been stuck at, but you got to go wash off what you caught there. Yeah. You got to get that mindset reset. You know, we told them one of the things we use Colossians 2:7, and one of the illustrations God gave us is you know, confidence comes from that. And in those verses in Colossians 2:7, you find confidence, and confidence is where I'm able to lean on something. And it says you'll grow strong in the truth you were taught there in Colossians 2. And we were saying, you know, when I lean on this, I'm taking the weight off of me, finding rest and relaxation as I'm leaning on something that I know can hold me up. That's confidence. And when I'm leaning on God, I know He's got me. When I'm leaning on His word, I know it doesn't fail. And I can lean there and know that I'm good. But if I were to go to the front of the stage and turn around and lean, what's going to happen? I'm going to fall. And a lot of times, we are leaning on things like people's opinions or things of this world or things that satisfy our lust or our pleasures and our desires, and we'll lean on it. And literally, I love how the Holy Spirit gave us this in the moment. When we lean on something that is not stable, we begin to fall, and then we start grasping for anything to hold on to, and that's how you became an addict in the first place. And that's how sin got in there in the first place. Because you were falling, not because you were bad. You needed something and you leaned on the wrong thing. And because of that, you grabbed for anything to give you stability, anything to make you not feel that way, anything to make you not hurt anymore, anything to take the pain away. You're not bad. You were created by a good God to be amazing, but you grabbed the wrong thing. Are you understanding? Are you good? Are you with me? So understand, sometimes I gotta get that cleaned off. I mean, I got to go back and say, hey, you know, what's that old hymn? Have you been to Jesus for His saving power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Man, I'm telling you right now, I am thankful today that it's not a washing when it comes to Jesus and something that'll wear off. It's not just a washing, it's a covering, it's a painting, it's a remodel. And though you're red as scarlet, you can be as white as snow. Though you're dead in your trespasses and sin, you can be raised to a new life. I'm telling you right now, some of us, hey, you got up, but now get clean, get it off, get it off, get it off. He did not die and say, shame on you. He died and said, shame off, guilt off. Let's get it all off and let's get the righteousness of God on. You have been transformed by Him, not by you, and therefore I can get into the shower of His love, the shower of His mercy, the shower of His grace, and come out totally clean on the other side. Get clean. But look at this next phrase. And if you go back to our text, it says that He washed Himself and He put on lotions. You know, I love the King James version of this. All right, this is a good one. He anointed Himself. Oh, what a word. Yeah, don't you remember in Psalm when David's writing, you have anointed my head with oil? Let's go back to when David's a shepherd boy and they come looking at all Jesse's sons and all of Jesse's guys aren't the ones for Samuel. And Samuel's like, God, I know I heard you clearly. And he looks at Jesse and says, this can't be all of them. And Jesse says, well, I got one more and he's a peon. That's pretty much what it is. You know, he's nothing. And they say, well, go get him. And God brought him out and David got anointed as king. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There's one thing to get clean and to realize that your sins are forgiven. There's another thing to know that the anointing of God is on your life, that the power and calling of God is back on your life. And at some point, I got to get up, I got to get clean, and I got to get my anointing back on and realize that you were not called to mediocrity, nor were you the only person that God called to be a failure, nor were you the only person that God called to say, I'd never use you. You were called with a purpose, chosen with a purpose. You're a king, you're a priest, you're going to rule and reign in royal priesthood. You were raised to heavenly places, inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, engraved on the palm of God's hand. You're a trophy in His hand. You're mighty. You're powerful. You're wonderful. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ today. And at some point, we've got to stop sitting in the world saying, woe is me. We got to get up and realize, hey, I am of a heavenly realm and a worldly place, and the anointing of God is on my life. I'm clean. I'm up. I'm moving. I'm His. He's mine. There's power in the name of Jesus today. You got to get anointed. And when we get that anointing, look on, it goes on and it says this, He changed His clothes. Now this one's something that I want to take a moment on, just a moment. You know, I remember looking at our Monday night class this past week and saying, you know, talk to me, everybody. How many of you would be totally honest that you shower frequently? Hand in the air. All right. Some of you, I'm very worried. All right. Here we go. If there's a couple seats between you and you didn't just raise your hand, you might reconsider. All right. I'm just kidding. What if for 3 solid weeks, I wore the same shirt, same underwear, same pants, same socks, same shoes for 3 solid weeks? No matter what I did, I wore them. Tuesday before the conference, I ran 7.2 miles on a treadmill. Let's say that I wore what I did on that treadmill to the conference the next day without washing it. All right, teenagers are with me. They get it. Church, you know what God gave me here? This is the sentence I can't get away from. I believe there are so many people, so many of you, me, us, we're seeking God today, aren't we? You tuned into a Facebook Live from wherever you are. You're listening to a YouTube or a podcast. You're sitting in a church because you're seeking God. You're also probably carrying some burdens and some weights. And that's the beauty of church. It's like a hospital. You come in with your illnesses. You come in seeking a doctor. You come in and you receive from him, and that's a beautiful thing. But how many times have you been to church? And this is my biggest concern and prayer now for our youth group. How many times have you been to a conference and heard God speak so clearly? You know, I was proud of one of our girls that went home and made a major decision, blew my mind last night, made a major decision without hesitation because of what God told them at a conference. That's there for them to tell, and very hard decision to make. My wife came and showed me this message. She said, "Did you know this?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness." The reality was God spoke at a conference and they obeyed. And it wasn't easy. But I'm telling you, how many times do we go in there and we get at an altar and we lay something down, or we have a moment in our seat where God's calling us and we're just like, "Yes, Lord, I hear you. I surrender. I give you my life." Or, "God, I hear you. I need to trust you more and surrender my worries and my anxieties. God, I need to lean in more." And how many of you have ever been in your devotions or been in a service and God really speak to you? How many of you have ever had that happen? Send that up. And you got clean. You got clean. But then you stood up and you put on the same clothes that you were wearing when you went to that altar. And no, I'm not talking about the same shirt and the same pants, but you stood up and you put on the same habits and the same decisions and the same mindsets and the same worries and the same anxieties that you had on when God spoke to you and it was so clear and you were like, "Wash me, cleanse me, but let me get my old clothes back on." And I think sometimes we're wondering why God's not working, and it's that God does cleanse you. I know very good people that love the Lord that have bad habits. And at some point, we got to get to Ephesians 4, and we got to throw off that old nature, and we got to put on a new nature, and we've got to be clothed in his righteousness. It's one thing to get up. It's another thing to get clean. It's even another thing to get the anointing. But by God, stop putting on the world and expecting to see Jesus. We got to change the clothes. We can't say, "I love him, but I'm going to live the way I want. I love him, but I'm going to do what I want to do, regardless of the word and regardless of what it says." It's time to get your clothes on, and not the clothes you wore yesterday. Thank God he didn't just take them out to wash them. He burned them and buried them. And now you can be clothed in his righteousness. You can be holy because he is holy. And because of that today, it's time that the Christians across the world get clean and get dressed. Get the good outfit on. That means I got to get some new mindsets. Sometimes I got to take that stinky shirt off, and I got to put a brand new one on. I've got to shift the perspective. I've got to move where God wants me to move. I got to get dressed. How many of you getting something out of this today? Anybody else got a mindset that you're like, "Ooh, I got to change my clothes"? Anybody else got a fear or worry? Hey, couldn't be a more opportune time. I almost didn't preach the message today because the fear I have in my life over what happened this week. And then it's like, he's either God in the storm or he's not God at all, right? Like, he's either it's truth in the valley or it's not truth at all. It can't just be where, hey, business is good, life is good. Hey, let's talk about the goodness of God. Sometimes we got to stand firm on what we don't want to believe, because we know by believing him, it will work, but believing in ourselves, it won't. And I'm telling you right now, mindset's got to shift. Mindset's got to shift. Get dressed. And then he went to church. Now, I know this. I'm not going to get on this. This is where I'll lose you, but you're here, so it shouldn't offend you. You got to get connected to God's people. You know, a little girl stood here. She's not little. I'm sorry, Bree. And literally said, I cried, didn't see anybody I knew, and thought about going home. And mom even said, you can go home. Whew, what a life-changing moment. I mean, that is a on the cusp. And good parenting, I'll support you, I'm here. But two of our girls ran up and said, we got you. David literally was the first thing he told me when he got to the cabin. Bree almost didn't come, but this girl and this girl ran up and got her. And because they ran up and got her, she did. I'm just going to tell you right now, in our series that we were supposed to be in today, it's Preach the Word. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's people out there that are hanging in the balance that want to step. They want to move. They want a change. But man, I don't see any familiar territory. And I don't see anything that I know. And this is scary and this is terrifying. If I were to ask you today to surrender your life and you didn't know much about God, you're going to have that moment where you want to, but you don't know how. You know what you need? Another believer running in and saying, hey, I am here with you. In Job chapter 6, verse 14, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, a despairing man deserves the loyalty of their friends, even if they forsake the Almighty. What we're saying is there's nothing like being connected to people who will bring you closer to God and draw you in and make you stronger. And we need to understand that sometimes the way to stay clean and to stay dressed is to get around other godly people that hold you accountable. And David said, I want to transform my life. And so you know what he said? Being a part of fellowship is a big deal. It is a big deal. God did not create you to be a lone ranger. He did not even let his son come to earth and do his ministry alone. His son even had 12 people. Wake up. If you ain't Jesus, you need people. Are you with me? You got to get to church. And then look what he did. He worshiped. You got to get your worship on. I mean, you got to find a way to go to thankfulness. Got to get to gratitude. I mean, we've heard it said so many times, gratitude is the most healing attitude. And at some point, we got to thank God for the good things in our life. You want to transform? Stop always talking about how bad it is and get up and praise God for the goodness. He's a good God. All right, matter of fact, on the count of three, I want you to just get one praise that you can give God vocally, audibly right now. You ready? You got it? Get in your head. Find one thing that you can say, thank you, God, for this. I want you to speak it out loud. You know why? Every demon in this place is going to run, because Satan loves the praise of man. And when we praise God, it's a weapon and he leaves. You want to see the enemy scared and running? Start worshiping God. The only reason Satan turned against God is he wanted to be worshiped. You want to worship Satan? You complain, you worry, you talk about how bad it is, and you watch those demonic forces flood in. You want to see them flee? You start talking about the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, the blessings of God, and Satan cannot stand it. And that's why he's not in heaven today. Are you with me? So count of three. Let's give God a vocal praise. Ready? One, two, three, go. Hey. You know what that sounds like? Sounds like an army walking around Jericho with nothing to do but just praise. Sounds like people who are weak against a powerful stronghold walking around walls that they can't seem to know how to fall. And then at the end, the God Bible says, just blow your horns and give me a shout. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, God's good. Boom, walls down. You say, I'm up against it and I can't get it to come down. Get with God's people and let's worship. Let's go. Let's shake it. They weren't lying. I had to tell them to stop jumping because I thought the floor in the cabin was going to fall through. Like, hey, let's go. He's good. Let's stop being woe is me, Christians, and let's wake up and say, change, clean, new clothes. God is good. Let's go. Let's move. Let's worship. And after that, ready, write this down. He went back to the palace. Ready? Three words. Go to work. Go to work. You say, God's changed my life. Good. Get to work. You know, can we write it down? Start dreaming again. Start getting the vision of God again. Start realizing you weren't called to sit in ashes. You were raised to sit on thrones. Stop looking at life as terrible and awful and monotonous and get up and go to work. Dream, vision, do the things you need to do. You're not going to get better staying the same and without trying to do something to change. Go to work. Change it. Move, move, move. God's got something for you. And how can you, this is the guy standing around him, dude, you were out of your mind and not doing anything, and now you're sitting back on your throne because God might have to remove you from a garden, but he's not removing you from your purpose. You can move forward when you go through transformation and still see God put you right back in the place of honor that he intended for you to be. All right, do you understand this today, church? We have got to get to a place where we're saying, I am going to get back at it. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get clean. I'm going to get my anointing on. I'm going to change these clothes. I'm going to go to church and get connected to people. I'm going to worship. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to see somebody's lives change. I'm going to see what God really wants to do. And then after that, he ate. Write this down, last one. Stay nourished. Keep feeding your brain the right stories. Keep feeding your soul the right truth. It's one thing to say, oh, God's changed my life. It's another thing to say, I'm going to keep eating the right things to stay fueled and right. Stay nourished. You know what'll happen? You'll make a difference. You see somebody's life change. 4 years ago, I never thought I'd stand on the stage again. But you know what? I know God has been good, and he's a transformational God. You can stay in those clothes and stay off the calling, or you can get those clothes changed and get back to your calling. But it all starts with a simple, okay, God, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to move. I'm going to get your truth. Get your word. I'm going to get this junk off. I'm going to trust that you love me and you care for me. You called me, intentionally made me, and wrote me into your story. I'm going to put on the right things. I'm going to walk in the right ways and with the right people, and I'm going to worship you everywhere I go. And I'm going to do the callings that you have placed on my life. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to share my fruit. Here's my peach. Here's what God's done in my life. Here's some of the love, the joy, the excitement that we've seen. And I'm going to watch you change lives. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and nobody look around? I'm going to invite our teenagers that want to come back to the stage. And I'm going to ask that we sing that very last song that y'all just sang, if you'd like to. But I want you to come quietly. Don't make a noise. How many in the room today would be honest and say, there's areas of my life that I'm stuck right now. Pastor Josh, pray for me. There's mindsets. There's different things I'm going through. Would you slip your hand up? Let's see those. Okay. Wow, everywhere. All right. Get up, right? Get up. You say, how do I get up? That's where you get into those Bible studies and those small groups. Grief class is a great one. Recovery ministries is another good one. You get into things that will give you tools to help you sharpen and help you rise. You get into the Word of God. How many of you here today say, Pastor Josh, there's some things I need to get clean in my life. Things I need to confess and get out of my life. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody say, Pastor Josh, there's some cleaning need to be done. Okay. All right. Hey, thank you for your honesty. What an awesome thing. Now I'll act on it. Get the anointing of God back. Anybody else say, hey, I've been carrying my shame too long. I've been carrying this guilt too long. I want to stand in the fullness of God. And so, Pastor Josh, would you help and pray with me as I seek the anointing of God, the purpose and plan of God to be reestablished in my mind? Would you slip your hands up? Anybody like that? Say, that's me. Amen. Amen. Wow. Anybody else in the room? Say, hey, I keep putting on the same clothes, Pastor Josh, and I really just need a different wardrobe. These mindsets need to change. These habits need to change. Pastor Josh, God spoke to me today. I want His righteousness, His holiness. Would you pray for me that I will get dressed in the ways that I need to? Would you slip your hand up today? Where are you at? Anybody like that? Deeper connections, right? Worship. Anybody say, I need to get my gratitude back on. I need the right people in my corner. I need to worship God. I need to serve God. Hey, Pastor Josh, pray for me that I'll get connected to the ones that will push me forward. Anybody like that? Raise a hand and say, yeah. What about this one? Who in here needs to start dreaming and visioning again of what God can do in their life? Who needs to see the possibilities beyond the mistakes and the tragedies? Who needs to say today, hey, I need to get back to the palace. I need to get back to work. God, give me a dream. Give me a vision. Help me see it. Help me stand. Is that you? Would you slip your hand up? Get a vision for that marriage. Get a vision for that career. Get a vision for that life and stand. Amen. Amen. I'm going to open altars today. And as they sing, if you're the one that says, hey, I need to get connected. Hey, I need to do this. By the way, connecting to other people without connecting to God as Lord and Savior is totally worthless. So I'm going to give you this right here, right now. If you have never declared Jesus the Lord of your life, you need to make that connection first. And so today, I'll be honest and I'll speak straight to you. And I want you to grab this. He's always Savior, whether you admit it or not. He's the Savior of the world, whether you accept it or not. The demons of hell know that He is the Savior of the world. They know it. You are no different than a demon of hell to acknowledge Him as Savior. The one thing the demons won't do that you must do is explain and expel and make it known He is Lord of my life. He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord. And if you'll confess with that mouth, openly declare, He is Lord, you will be saved. And if you've never connected to the Lord today, then at this moment, right here, right now, where you sit, would you get a hand to heaven, a heart open and a mind speaking, saying, God, I accept your salvation and declare Him Lord. Here's control. Here's my heart. Jesus is Lord of my life. And if today, you're willing to make Jesus the Lord of your life, would you slip a hand in the air and say, Pastor Josh, that's me. I just made Jesus the Lord of my life. Amen. There's one. Anybody else? I'm looking in balcony first. Anybody join them? Two, three, four. Amen. Let's go. Let's go. Amen. Five. Amen. He's Lord. He's Lord. Best connection you ever have is to the vine, and from there He'll bring you to the branches. He'll get you connected to everyone else. If you've accepted Lord as your life today, I want to invite you, just where you're at with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand right where you are, just right where you are? If you're one of those, come on, make that profession of faith. I have accepted Him as Lord of my life. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else joining them? Amen. Amen. Miss Glenda, if you would, right here. All right, and then someone right here, if you would, just join in, grab hands, and let's celebrate that. As you pray with them, just pray over them, speak life to them. I'm going to invite the rest of you to stand. And if today you need a change of scenery, you need to change where your life is and your heart is, I'm going to ask you to make a move, to make a move. You're going to say something? All right, come here. Okay. All right, hang on. This is my wife, by the way. Hold it close.
Okay, so I just have to say, I'm kind of weepy, so forgive me, but in these moments, I just have to remind you guys to just stand up there, and then they all represent a testimony, right? Redeemer. He loves us unconditionally. He
your story, don't let it be. But the thing is, whatever your story is, this is just an example. This is just an example of the restoration that is available to each and every one of you in whatever your circumstances are. That I can't stand up there and listen to them say that they gave their life to Christ, or people that I know have rededicated, or just whatever their story is. We shouldn't even be able to be a part of it. But we are. And how cool is that?
Yeah.
So I just had to say it.